Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Can I ask who's here for the first time today? You've never been here. Welcome. Who else? Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's nice to have you. I had another young lady that is here for the first time today. She knows who she is. Who came and asked me a question. She saw some things happening at the back there that probably she never experienced before, and her question to me was, but what is this? And I'm going to quickly share what I shared with her, because I know we've got other visitors, and I know we've got people that, you know, sometimes they wonder about things, but they don't really ask. And that's a dangerous thing, because when you don't ask, and you don't get the right information, sometimes then you make up kind of like your own mind. And it's very, very dangerous to make up your own mind about the things of God. You should go according to what the Word of God says, because that is truth. God's Word says, let God be true and every man a liar. We serve God. Today we're here because we all realize that we need God. I'm sure you're not here today because you were bored at home. I'm sure you're here today because you have some need in your life. Whether you need to hear the word, whether you need to be taught, whether you need healing, whether you need deliverance, whether you need some change in your life, maybe you need a miracle. Everybody has some kind of a need, and probably we've come to the place that we realize that only God can provide what we need. Now, here's the thing that you have to understand about God, and that will never change. God is supernatural. Yes, He's divine. Yes, He's majestic. But He's also supernatural. And when God moves, He moves by the power of His Holy Spirit, and He moves in supernatural ways. I'll give you an example. If I drop a 5 rand coin, I probably have to bend down to pick it up. You know, Jesus had no problem with gravity, right? In Jesus' case, He would probably just point His finger and it'll come up and He'll just take it. Why? Because God operates in the realm of the supernatural. Amen? Jesus said, the wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he is going, and you don't know where he comes from. And so it shall be with each of you that is born again of the Spirit of God. The wind blows where he wants to. Who is the wind? The wind is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the wind blows where he wants to. In other words, today in this church, the Holy Spirit has an agenda. The Holy Spirit is here with a purpose. Nothing that God does is purposeless. There is always a vision. There is always a purpose for God to do whatever he does. Now, Jesus said, the wind blows where he wants. You don't know where he comes from. You don't know where he is going. And so it shall be with each of you that is born again of the Spirit of God. The wind. The Holy Spirit is called the wind. He's also called the breath of God. He's called the wind. He's called the breath. When God created Adam, God took clay. God was the first toddler, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but he's the first one that played with clay. You know what I'm talking about. He took clay and he shaped it into a form instantly recognizable as the image of God. Look at your neighbor and say, you are created in the image of God. At least he gets the idea. He's smiling. It's like, wow. I'm not just somebody. I was created in the image of God. But the problem was, after God played with the clay and he made an image which was instantly recognizable as the image of God, there was nothing. The clay lay there. It's kind of like a lot of people. We have the outer appearance of being somebody, but inside there's nothing. Inside we're dead. You know, a lot of people in life, they exist, but they're not living. And you must understand something. There is a big difference between existing and living. God didn't put you on this earth to exist. God put you on this earth to live. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So how did God fix? Because you see, Adam right there was not having abundant life. He was having serious death. How did God get life into him? The Bible says, and God breathed into Adam. And when the breath of the Almighty, which is also called the Spirit of God, entered his body, his lifeless body, doing, he sat up. And he began to live. When the Holy Spirit of God moves, imagine, you know what, right now if you look at the television, there's all these clowns out there doing serious magic, like, give me some names here. Chris Angel, what's that other one that like does all the weird stuff? Dynamo, yeah. I've seen some pretty crazy and scary stuff. Sometimes I don't know if it's just a trick or if it's demonic or what. I don't always trust all these things. But here's the thing. Today we get like all excited when we see some magician. Now I'm here. Now I'm not there. Now I get sawn in half. Whatever. You know what? Imagine if you were there on the first, on the sixth day of creation. Well, imagine if you were there on the first day of creation. We're hanging around here in limbo, nothing happening, everything is dark, everything is black, just hanging around, and the next moment, boom, there's life. There's a planet. Okay, but now we're swimming because God hasn't separated the waters and the earth yet. It's like, oh, yeah. Luckily back then we had Speedo flarkies, you know, I don't know, wings. We're hanging around there and the next moment, God speaks a word and boom, we're standing on dry ground. And then God speaks another word. Whoosh, there's an expanse. There's grass. There's trees. There's animals. Amazing stuff. Freaky stuff. But how did it happen? Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and the earth was empty and darkness covered the surface of the deep. And God said, let there be light. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty and darkness covered the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. When the Holy Spirit, the mighty wind of God, the breath of the Almighty, starts hovering, anything can happen. Water can turn into wine. You can actually walk on water. You can walk up to a blind person, take some mud, walk up to that blind person, shove it in their eyes. How many of you know you've just destroyed their corneas, their retinas, their everything? But when the Spirit of God does it, they open their eyes and it's like, but I can see. Go figure that. How many of you know that your brain just imploded trying to understand how that works? It's like, makes no sense. But it doesn't have to make sense. Do you know why it doesn't have to make sense? Because it's supernatural. It's not supposed to make sense because it manifests in a realm that our minds cannot always comprehend. But that doesn't make it unreal. That doesn't make it less powerful, less legitimate. Do you know why we call a miracle? Because it is something that is impossible that is made possible. I don't know about you, but I serve the God of miracles. I serve the God of signs and wonders. I serve the healer. I serve the deliverer. And you know what? God still moves today the way he moved all those years ago. And he still moves supernaturally. Today, one of the biggest problems that your church has, the church doesn't like things that cannot be explained. The church likes to be in charge of everything that happens. When you are in charge, God is not going to move, because there can only be one boss. There's not two. When you put God in that place, you take a step back and you say, Lord, your will be done, your kingdom come. But then you must strap yourself in and prepare yourself, because you have no idea what's going to happen next. And you must accept that. And you must embrace that. Because that is how God operates. The wind is blowing outside today. The moment you put your head out that door, you're going to feel this draft come over your face. And because it's quite cool this morning, you're instantly going to feel the temperature change. If the wind outside there, the natural wind, the physical wind, has an effect that we can see and feel and experience, then I want you to listen to me very carefully. The Holy Spirit is called the wind of God. He's going to have the same effect on us. You're going to feel, you're going to experience, and you're going to see when he moves. When the Holy Spirit moves, things happen. When the Holy Spirit really moves, there's chaos. Oh, but Rian, you don't understand. We like everything. As ek nou Afrikaans kan praat, ons like het geordend. Alles moet reg wees. Alles moet op sy plek wees. No, that's not how God operates. Get one thing straight. What we think is order to God is chaos. What to God is order to us is sometimes chaos. But it's not what we want, it's what God wants that counts. Amen? And sometimes we need a bit more godly chaos to get our lives back on track. Probably today you're going to see a couple of things that's going to open your eyes very big. Maybe you won't always understand everything that you see, but I want to give you some peace. Jesus said, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will my Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? You will not ask him for a fish and he gives you a serpent. You will not ask him for an egg and he gives you a scorpion. You will not ask him for a bread and he gives you a stone. Jesus says, have peace. If you ask God for his Holy Spirit, he will give you his Holy Spirit. Now the problem is, we ask God for the Holy Spirit, and then when God gives the Holy Spirit, the wind begins to blow. Everybody jumps up, oh, but this can't be God. Are we then calling God a liar? Gee, I don't know. Maybe we should think about that. Because Jesus said, if you ask for the Spirit, you will get the Spirit. Ah, but Leon, you don't understand. It's deceiving spirits. It's demons. Jesus said, demons don't cast out demons. Otherwise, Satan's kingdom is divided against itself. How then can it stand? You know, we've had people come to these meetings and then they see demons come out of people. Then it's like, oh, but this is not right. God doesn't do that. That's from the devil. No, it's not. My suggestion to you is go back and read your Bible. And you will see that demons only come out when the Spirit of God pushes them out. Jesus actually said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Ma'am, what's your name? Angela. That's some kind of an abbreviation for angel, am I right? Must have some connotation. It's a good thing you're in church today. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know the Lord's Prayer? Okay, can you say the first two verses for me? The Lord's Prayer. Yes. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay, let's stop right there. Today is about whose kingdom? God's. Not mine. It's not yours. It's not yours. It's not the NG Kerk. It's not the RGS. It's not the Baptist. It's not the Methodist. It's about his kingdom must come. It's amazing how many times we ask God for his kingdom to come, and then when the kingdom comes, we all run away. It's like, oh, but that's not right. I'm sure sometimes God sits up there and he thinks to himself, man, these people can't make up their minds. They ask me for my kingdom to come. I release the power of my kingdom. They all run away and claim it's the devil. Yeah, there's no pleasing some. You know why? Because we're ignorant and we don't understand. It's because for many years we've been involved in institutions where the power of God is not there. Then when we see it for the first time, it's like, oh, but this can't be right. Says who? Read your Bible. It's in the Bible. How many of you have some problem, some issue, some whatever in your life right now that you cannot fix? Oprah can't fix it. Dr. Phil can't fix it. Jerry Springer has no clue. Don't even watch. It's like he's off the track. Yeah, Jerry Springer will add to your problems. Just don't go there. Yeah. Dr. Kevorkian doesn't have the answer, if you know who I'm talking about. How many, just entertain me, please, just humor me. Who's got some issues, problems, drama that you can't fix it? It's like, okay, probably you don't understand the question. Who needs a miracle? Much better. Then I want to tell you something, you need God. And one thing you must understand, when you come to God, you best accept his terms. You don't tell him what to do. Jesus said, the wind blows where he wants to. Can I tell you what happens many times in people's lives and in churches' lives? They ask God for something and then they give him their list of conditions. I want something from you, God, but these are my conditions. Don't give it to me if it's purple. Don't give it to me after 12. Don't give it to me on an empty stomach. I'm just giving stupid examples. But we tell God, I want this, but these are my conditions. And then God says, sorry, I can't give it to you. I'll explain to you how this works. People come to a ministry such as this. Doesn't have to be this ministry. A place where the power of God moves. A place where the kingdom of God comes. They come because they heard people get healed and they heard miracles take place. You know, like, oh, we need that. We need that. Oh, we want more. Okay, they come. But they've never really experienced this stuff. So, they come there, and when the anointing comes down, the power of God comes down, and then the river begins to flow. The wind, the breath of the Almighty begins to blow. I want to help you to understand something. There's not just people in this room. There's people in this room. There's angels in this room. And there's demons in this room. Oh, Ria, no, that can't be right. We're the church. Guess where Jesus cast out all the demons? In the church. Oh, but Rian, that can't be right. No, go read your Bible. In fact, let me read it for you. Mark chapter 1, verse 39. So Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Now there's a shock. Where did Jesus find lots of demons? In people sitting in the synagogues, which was the church of the day. What were the demons doing there? the same that they still do today. They like to go to church because generally there's nothing in the church that upsets them, frustrates them, or challenges them. Because until the breath of the Almighty, until the power of God is not there, the devil is very comfortable. If you could see in the spirit world, just do me a favor, just move up one chair for me there, please. What's your name? Say again. Shirley. And you again? Okay. It's not inconceivable. If you could see in the spirit today, you would see Anesh and Shirley here, and you would see some Chocho. What is the Chocho doing there? Well, Chochos like division. He likes to separate families. There is a demon called family alienation. You get some families, they can never get on. Everybody's always fighting with everybody. You want to tell me God made you that way? I beg to differ. God never made you that way. Something came into your family that causes that. Oh, then we have another demon. Very busy right now. We can give him a couple of names. Lack, poverty, financial instability, debt. Oh, but Rian, how can that be a demon? I want to tell you something, it is. There's something attached to your life that keeps pushing you to make wrong decisions, keeps pushing opportunities away from you so that you're stuck in the pit of despair all the time. Because when you are stuck in the pit of despair for long enough, you will begin to curse God. The devil has seen that many times. It doesn't change. There's other demons. I'll give you another example. Fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." Put your hand on your mind and say, "This should be a sound mind." But only you know if you have a sound mind or not. And can I tell you what robs a lot of people of the soundness of the mind? The fears that enter your mind. The fear that tomorrow you're not going to make it. The fear that people don't like you and accept you. The fear that you are a failure. The fear that you will not succeed. There's a lot of fears. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people walking the earth today that are destined for greatness. And the simple way that Satan stops them from achieving greatness is he attached a spirit of fear to them. Oh, but Rian, where did the spirit of fear come from? You know what, the devil, how can I put this? The devil is a pig. There's another couple of choice words that I could use, but we're in the church, so I'm just going to cut it there. Imagine a 3-year-old. Walking in a shopping center with his mother. And the mother is generally quite diligent. She's always looking after him. She's always checking. But you also know what it's like when you're in a shopping center. You see this, you see that, you quickly want to check this, you want to check that price. You turn around, your child is gone. By the grace of God, they're not abducted or anything. They just wandered off. But now after a little while, the 3-year-old realizes, oh, but where's my mom? Remember, all that 3-year-old really knows is the mom. The world is still a very scary place. Like, and now suddenly the mom is not there. And the child gets more and more panicky. And you know, the way things are today, nobody even offers to help the child because nobody cares. Everybody's so caught up in their own little world. So the poor little thing is walking around there, panic, panic, panic. And the panic gets worse. The stress gets worse. And you know what? Here's how Satan operates. What does Satan use? Satan uses weakness. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom you must resist, standing firm in your faith." Satan is called a liar for a very good reason. A lion for a very good reason. Because lions prey on weakness. If a lion sees a herd of buffalo, he's not just indiscriminately going to rush into the herd of buffalo and just grab whatever. No, he's going to study them first. And he's going to identify the weakness. The old one, the crippled one, the young one, the hurt one. When that lion charges, his eyes are focused on one individual buffalo, not the tribe. The what do you call it? The herd. Because the way he hunts, the way he kills, is to use weakness as his ally. Satan does the same. That three-year-old child who is going through all the panic, going through all the trauma, going through all the fear, in a moment of weakness, something opens up in that child. That spirit grabs. Later on, mommy comes, wipes the tears. But from that day, that little boy or girl is never quite the same. Now, when they put the lights off, the child begins to scream. Why? Because the spirit of fear has power and he touches there. Now suddenly the child feels a lot of fear when the lights go off. Before they didn't feel the fear. Why? Because in a moment of weakness, something grabbed and worked. There's quite a few spirit of fears sitting here today. The problem is we have this attitude of it, God made me that way. No, he didn't. The Bible says God has not given you a spirit of fear. Look at your neighbor and say, God has not given you a spirit of fear. But then I want to elaborate a bit. God has also not given you a spirit of rejection. God has also not given you a spirit of anger. God has also not given you a spirit of low self-esteem. God has also not given you a spirit of lust. God has also not given you a spirit of anxiety. God has also not given you a spirit of depression. But these things attach themselves to us sometimes through weakness and sometimes through stupidity. I'm sorry, but people do stupid stuff all the time. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but some of you have been to fortune tellers. Do you know what the Bible says when you go to a fortune teller? You are cursed. What do you think happens when you go to a fortune teller? Who of you on occasion asks God to clothe you with the armor of God? Have you ever done that? Lord, please put the helmet of salvation on me. Lord, please put the breastplate of righteousness on me. Lord, please give me the belt of truth because I don't want to get caught with my pants down. Hello? Lord, please put the shoes of the preparation for the gospel on my feet. Lord, please put the shield of faith in my hand. Lord, please give me my sword of the Spirit. Everything you asked for belongs to God, not you. And it's coupled to the kingdom of God, not you. Now, Jesus also made a very important statement. He said, man cannot serve two masters. Because you will either love the one or hate the other. You cannot serve both God and Mammon. Mammon just being a type of Satan attached to finance, attached to money. Jesus makes it very clear. You cannot at the same time be serving God and Satan. Because you are serving either or. Now, the moment you go into the office or the room or whatever, workspace of this fortune teller, to whom does that place belong? It belongs to Satan. And whatever you claimed from God will remain outside because God's blessings, God's gifts, God's favor, God's grace was not given to you to mess around with Satan stuff. It's going to fall off. So now you walk into that fortune teller's room. Doesn't matter how many times you've asked for the armor of God. The armor of God stays outside. And now you are vulnerable. And because you are vulnerable and you are in a place where you're not supposed to be, something grabs hold. Jesus, whenever he went to the church, cast out demons. Why? Look at your neighbor and say, because church people have demons. Oh, you see, that's, people don't want to hear that. It's like, oh no, that's not right. Oh no, but Rion, you don't understand. I'm Holy Spirit filled. I speak in tongues. I prophesy. But now I'm wondering, do you prophesy or is there a familiar spirit speaking through you? I'm not sure. Because we don't know what you got involved with. There was a young man attending a church where I was involved with at one stage. And this young man had an uncanny ability to prophesy over people's lives. In fact, people were blown away because he could stand in front of you and give you detail about your life that just, it's like, wow. Where does he get this stuff? Now, the people just assumed that he has a prophetic gift. Guess what? When I began to work with this man and I began to talk to him, it turned out that he used to be a Satanist. That when he was involved in Satanism, he was a recruiter into Satanism. His way of recruiting people into Satanism was he had this thing called the green ball of slime. Maybe it's not going to be so lekker for you, or maybe you might not understand, but in the spirit world, these things can happen. And he used to be talking to somebody, then he would see this green ball come, doing, 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 doing. And when the thing came closer, the thing would communicate to him. The thing would tell him, this girl likes Depeche Mode. She's wearing pink underwear. I only say that because he used that as an example. Her favorite TV show is, that was back in the day, Chips. I see there's a new movie coming out. Yay. Anyway. What? The whole series. Oh, praise God. Anyway. And he would get all this information, and guess what then he does? He sits with this girl, he says, oh, you know what? I know your favorite color. She's like, oh, come on. He says, no, your favorite color is purple. You know, they say even a blind dog can find a bone. So she's not convinced. He says, but by the way, you're wearing pink underwear. Then she's immediately checking whether everything is like, you know. Then he says, you love Depeche Mode. And so he goes on. And so he goes on. Within 5 minutes, that girl is eating out of his hand. Within 10 minutes, he's kissing her. An hour later, he's in the car doing stupid things to her. The following day, she wants to be a Satanist. Because he impregnated her with satanic art. How many times did he do that? Plenty. The reason he got out of Satanism is because the demons working in his life made it so difficult for him that he just couldn't live anymore. And he did get saved and he did change his life, but he never got delivered. The green ball of slime was still talking to him. Now it was just having a jaw in the church because everybody thought he's prophesying. He wasn't prophesying. A spirit of divination was speaking through him. By the grace of God, we cast the spirit of divination out of him. Guess what? He couldn't prophesy anymore. Church people have demons, whether you like it or not, because church people have a background. Church people have a previous life. And in the previous life, we open doors to things that's not good, that attach themselves to us. You know, there's this weird fallacy in the church that because the Holy Spirit is now in me, because I am now saved, because I'm now a child of God, I can't have any demonic problems. It must now be gone. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit doesn't come into you because you are perfect. He comes into you to bring about perfection, to work with you, to help you to deal with all your stuff, because without the Holy Spirit, you can't. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. You need the Holy Spirit to cast out demons in the first place. You need the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to be set free. You can't be set free without Him. So you're in a place where the power of God begins to move. You're not the only one that feels it. the demons also feel it. And every now and then one of them starts freaking out. We were having a meeting in Alberton once. Church was packed. I hadn't even started preaching yet. In fact, if I remember correctly, I walked up and I started greeting the people. The next moment, this woman blew up. If I say blew up, like it was like a Scud missile going off. An intercontinental ballistic missile just went boom. The first three rows instantly disappeared. I don't know where all the people went, but it's like everybody was gone. The demon in this woman challenged me, like, I can't remember what it said, but now we had to deal with this. You must understand something. It's very difficult to start preaching when you've got a demon manifesting in the third row, getting all cocky and freaking out. We had to take her into the back room and deal with it first. Took about 20 minutes. But I do want to say something. Nobody left. You know, it was like a soap opera. Everybody's sitting for the next because they want to see what's going to happen. I was like, some of them were like, tick, 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 but they said. Eventually, we came walking out with the woman, and the woman was fine. And everybody's like, there was a couple of spirits of fear that manifested. Like, tick, tick, tick. We had to pray for the people later because they had a shock. Especially the two women sitting on both sides of her. I want to tell you, it was like instant. Sometimes when you come to church, you need clean underwear. It's just, it happens. I'll never forget, there was a man, a church I used to minister in the south of Joburg. This man didn't believe in demons. He was like, ach, you oaks are all making this stuff up. I've heard all these things before. I just smile. One night we're having a church service. The power of God begins to move in that place. We get two demons erupting at the same time. One there, the other one there. Now, here's how it happened. One person in which the demon erupted was sitting in this chair here. The gentleman that didn't believe in any of the stuff, that said this is the biggest load of rubbish he's ever seen, was sitting in that church there. Ach, that chair there. Instant explosion, demons freaking out, screaming, blood-curling wails coming out, banshee wails, everything happening at the same time. Guess where the demon dives? Under his chair. I want to tell you something. That man is big. He weighs about 150 kilograms. I have never seen anybody. He didn't run. He was locked in place. He did not move. After the 20 minutes it took me to cast the demon out of that person, the man was still sitting there. He didn't even blink. He was paralyzed by fear. Afterwards, they brought him to me. He was like, you have to pray for me. I said, why? He said, oh, I'm so scared. I was like, but you don't believe in this stuff. Oh, no, I believe. Church people have demons. Deal with it. People get all upset about this stuff. Why we want to get upset? If this is something God gave to help people, why we want to get upset? And if you don't have to live with your fear, why would you want to? And if you don't have to be rejected, why must you feel rejected all the time? Jesus is the answer. I'm just going to stop this here and save this because I actually want this to be separate.